The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were accustomed to fast. People came to Jesus and objected. Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered them, "Can the wedding guest fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth on an old cloak. If he does, its fullness pulls away the new from the old, and the tear gets worse. Likewise, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are ruined. Rather, new wine is poured into fresh wineskins." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy balmy morning to you this morning. Can I give you a little fun fact for the day? It's warmer in the capital of Greenland than it is in, no joke, than it is in Fredericksburg. Newark, Greenland, 16 degrees. Fredericksburg, Virginia, 15 degrees. Okay, we beat Greenland. That's your fun fact for the day. Okay, so tiny little thought for you for the day. I thought we'd talk about our first reading, okay, from the letter to the Hebrews, because we're going to hear from Hebrews every day for four solid weeks. And I've talked to you about Hebrews before. Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians, converts from Judaism to Christianity, who were being tempted to abandon their Christian faith and go back to being Jewish because they were suffering such great persecutions. And the letter to the Hebrews is trying to tell them that Christianity is so much greater than anything that they left behind. It's so much, so far superior in Christ. But it's very dense, letter to the Hebrews is, because, you know, it's really more of a sermon than it is a letter. So there's all kinds of lines that you could talk about. I just want to talk about one this morning, because I think there's a little lesson in it that you might find helpful. Down at the end of our first reading, it said, "Son though he was, Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. And when he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him." Jesus learned obedience from what he suffered. Now, how the heck can Jesus learn anything? Isn't Jesus God? Doesn't God know everything already? How on earth can Jesus learn anything? Take a closer look at this, okay? Now, we have to go back to what we believe about Jesus to answer that question, okay? And we believe that Jesus is one person, second person of the Blessed Trinity, in two natures. He's got a human nature, and he's got a divine nature. Now, that means that Jesus knows everything in two ways. I know this is very mysterious, but try to stick with me. Two ways. He knows as God at all times, and he knows as a man at all times. Now, we're going to take what it means to know as God. We're going to set that aside. Total mystery. I don't even understand it. But let's talk about what it means to know as a man. For Jesus, that means three things. Okay? Hope this isn't too complicated. It means he knows what it's like to be blessed in heaven because he's there. Second thing it means, he knows what it's like to live without sin because he did it. Third thing it means, Jesus knows what it's like to live on this earth because he experienced it. He knows what it's like to grow up. He knows what it's like to learn how to talk. He knows what it's like to learn how to walk. He knows what it's like to put in a hard day and be exhausted. He knows what it's like to wipe the sweat off his brow on a steaming hot day. And he knows what it's like to freeze in his bones on a cold day in January. Because he experienced it. And it's in that last sense is the only way we can say Jesus learned anything. And Jesus learned by experience what it was like to say yes to God even when it cost him. That's what it means when we say he learned obedience from what he suffered. Okay? So now there's a lesson in this, and I hope you find this helpful. There's a concealed power in suffering, a special grace that can draw you close to Christ like nothing else in the world, and the only way to learn it is by experience. Trustful surrender to divine providence, especially when it hurts, especially when you don't understand, is one of the most powerful forces in the whole world because Jesus went through it. It actually has the power to change who you are. It makes you, if you'll cooperate with it, it makes you from the false self you currently are into the beautiful creation God wants to make you into. Okay? And if you think about it, everyone who's ever suffered anything has manifested this. Don't we honor people based on what they've suffered and gone through? I mean, talk about Dr. Martin Luther King, right? Martin Luther King Day today. Would anybody honor Dr. King if he didn't suffer Birmingham jail, assassination, all these things? I mean, certainly not as much, right? I think that's a safe statement. Take a look at any of the saints. We look at the lives of the saints from the point of view of their most painful hour. Like St. Agnes, little saint we celebrate today. St. Agnes, 12-year-old girl, so young they tried to bind her hands in handcuffs and they fell clean off her wrists. 12 years old. And they lopped off her head because she wouldn't deny her faith. We value St. Agnes based on the most painful hour of her life. Like Christ, she experienced suffering and was transformed by it and became who God made her to be. That's the lesson I think that we learn from this. Not only that Jesus went through it first, but in going through it ourselves, we become who we are meant to be, not only for the glory of God, but for the good of one another. Okay, so trust, suffering, prayer, and perseverance. Let's too trust our Lord, become who we were meant to be, and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Agnes, pray for us.